Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, people. Of course it's Sunday. Why the fuck am I stuttering already? It is Sunday, people. Sunday the 21st of April, 2024. We are back, people. We are back. It's been a hiatus of a couple of weeks. I know everything's been a bit on and off here, and is he releasing an episode? Isn't he releasing an episode? Why is he teasing us with this? What sort of machinations are going on in his skull right now? I know it's been a while, people, but I have been super busy redoing stuff at Briggs Towers here. And I temporarily had to get everything put away, packed away and shit like that. And as ever, with any fucking job that I do, it has taken me ages to complete it. If anything, I am a master procrastinator. I fully hold my hands up now to that. Definitely. It's underrated, procrastinating. It allows you to get shit done that you don't need to be done. Doesn't it? Ah, oh, Jesus. You want to see the cleanliness of my skirting boards right now? Oh, you could eat your dinner off them. But the things that I need to get doing, I have just put off completely. So apologies, people, as much as you need them out there and as much as you desire them. They are being fired at you right now, and we are back. So, yes, what have you... Anyway, how are you people out there? Rhetorical question, because you cannot answer me. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are keeping healthy, fit, and mentally well. How are you in yourselves? Are you okay? Yeah? Are you coping with life? Are you pushing to the back of your minds like the impending doom of death that will inevitably happen to all of us? I hope so. I hope so. Anyway, what an upbeat episode this is already, people. I'll tell you what I've been up to. I have continuously been gigging, even though I've not been putting out the podcast. This weekend, I had quite a nice weekend this weekend. It's been very lovely. I went to Buckingham. Now, this was Friday night. I don't know if any of you out there are from Buckingham, have seen Buckingham, are aware of Buckingham. Obviously, we are aware of the palace in London. However, the town, city, hamlet, whatever it is, village. It's not a village, is it? Buckingham Town. I think it's a town, isn't it? It's fucking beautiful. I went there Friday night. I had a gig there Friday night. I was closing. It was a new night for a new gig. So it was a brand new gig. First night. Always a bit of a dodgy one to close because you never really know what the audience is going to be like. They were... the venue itself was fucking beautiful. It was like a two-part sort of thing. It had a really, like, nice restaurant, you know, big glass fucking walls around it, that sort of thing. And then the gig was in a place called the Granary that was, like, across a courtyard, and it was, like, an old... I think... I was talking to a guy before the gig and he said that his mum used to run it as a pub years ago. So shout out to that guy for that info. That came in handy. it was quite a nice chap, to be fair. But it used to be a pub. So it was like an old stone building. It had a bar in there down the left-hand side of the room as you look from the back. And it was quite a sort of like long, narrow-ish room. I think there's about 100 people there, something like that. It was nice. It was a nice room. But when I got there, obviously I look the way I do, people, you know. I cannot help this. I have a fucking skinhead. I have a big scar on my face. I have, as somebody pointed out the other day, not quite 11s, but 33s. That's what they call that bit between your fucking eyes, innit? I'm a frowner. I'm natural born frowner. Okay, yeah? That's it. My mum was saying to me the other day, you know, stop frowning. This is my face now. That's it. I'm not frowning. This is me relaxed. That's it. Years of frowning have embedded themselves in my forehead and they are not going to go. And I refuse to have shit pumped into my face. He says, shit pumped into my face to take it out. So this is me. This is the best today, this morning. This is the best I'm going to look. It's only downhill from now on. So yeah, because of the way I look, I went into the restaurant bit thinking that's where the gig would be because that's all you could see from the road. So I went into the restaurant bit, walked up to the woman behind the counter, pretty much dressed as I am now. I think I had a like black sweatshirt on. I go with black, don't I? And a jacket and that. And the woman behind, because it's quite a posh restaurant, she looked at me the way somebody would look at a rat that had just got into the kitchen. I thought she was going to try and shepherd me out with a fucking broom. Ah, Jesus. The look in her face, just the judgment, as if somehow by having me in the building would affect their profits. And she shepherded me into the gig, which was bloody nice of her. But, like, I'm surprised they didn't put a blanket over my head. You know, like when people are taken into court and they want to hide their identity. I'm surprised they didn't put a blanket over my fucking head and walk me through the restaurant. I don't know, man. Anyway, the gig itself was quite nice. It was run by Aaron Williams. And another guy who runs it with him, who's a magician, who was actually emceeing the night as a magician. Now, we have spoken extensively here at the Ben Briggs podcast against my like of magicians. I just don't, you know, I have people I like who are magicians, right? But I have spoke extensively on the Ben Briggs podcast about my lack of, I just don't understand how people find it entertaining. I don't care at all. You know, is this your, do you want to pick a card or whatever? Yeah, pick a card. It's that card. Okay, don't show it to anybody. Don't show it to me. Put it back in the pack. Don't tell me you're going to give me the same card back. You know, I had it in my hand like a minute ago and you're just showing it to me again. Well done. That's fucking amazing. Great stuff. Great stuff. Well done. I just don't get it. I don't care. I don't care that you can find my card in a stack of cards. It just doesn't do anything for me. You know, if you levitate and fly around the room and stuff like that, I'm going to be pretty impressed. But very few comedians do that. Very few magicians do that, do they? Just start, you know, if you can completely make something disappear in front of me, you know, yourself, if you can just click your fingers and disappear, that's fucking amazing. I'd love to see that. Yeah? But nobody ever does that, do they? It's always a card trick or something with balls, you know, like balls and cups, isn't it? There's a cup. It's got one ball under it. It's got two balls under it that are strangely spongy balls that you could probably keep in your palm of your hand. Isn't it? That's it. Everything they seem to make appear is, strangely enough, you can keep in the palm of your hand or in a secret compartment in the cup. Make of that what you will. Here we go. It's like the fucking, I'm going to be thrown out the magic circle for that one. Oh my God, he's onto us. He's onto us in our spongy balls. Jesus Christ. We've been keeping this secret for hundreds of years. And this guy, he's onto us. Right, let's have some tea. To be fair, the guy who emceed it, the magician guy, he was doing like a few tricks in between the acts and that sort of thing, and he did get, it's always difficult emceeing a first night of a gig, I think. And just keeping the attention, because the audience, they may have been to comedy before. The majority of a new audience like that won't have gone to comedy before, or in somewhere like Buckingham, won't have had a local comedy club operating before, at least a monthly one or anything like that. So they need a certain amount of shepherding. They need a certain amount of gaining their attention and keeping their attention and stopping them from talking and getting them back from the bar when that's open, and you know, getting them back from breaks and things like that. And he did a very good job of that, to be fair. And he did sort of like focus the audience. I was a little bit worried because, I don't know, it's just one of those things. Closing the night, headlining the night on a brand new night can always be a bit dodgy if you're doing like darker material. A couple of the acts had done really well who were on just before me. To be honest, all the acts did well. And they were kind of like more, a little bit more tame. They had good jokes, but like a little bit more tame. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, this could be the sucker punch to the end of the fucking night here. Here we go. But it was really lovely. It was really good fun. And the night went really well, and it was really nice. So that was Friday night. On Saturday night, I was in Bourne, which is meant to be Lincolnshire, but like has got a Peterborough postcode. So it's near Peterborough. Not that you need to know this. But I had fucking horrendous... walking into the room, I was just like, oh, fuck. Just getting like horrendous flashbacks from a, you know, horrendous gig. Well, not horrendous gig, but just a shit gig I did a couple of months ago. I don't know. I think I talked about it already, where 12 people walked out. And that's where that gig taught me one thing, that if 3 people walk out, don't ask if anybody else wants to leave. That's for sure. Don't do that. But the room was pretty much a carbon copy of that room that happened in. High stage, kind of like a long room, like a sports hall. If you can imagine, like this was like a community center on Saturday night in Bourne. And the other one was a memorial hall, I think, oddly enough. I never do well in a memorial hall. That's 2 shit gigs I've had, like, within the last 6 months in memorial halls, and they've both been fucking awful. Well, to be fair, the one in Newmarket was better. After the people left, everybody who stayed was fucking lovely. But, you know, we had to, there's always casualties in war, isn't there? We had to sacrifice 12 people for the set to go okay. And the worst thing was I wasn't even closing that night. Somebody else was closing. So, yeah, it's... let's have some more tea. So I walk into the room and I'm just literally confronted by a carbon copy of that room. The seating layout is the same. It doesn't go quite to the edge of the room, so people can walk either side. So everybody's down, kind of down. It seems like everybody's down the middle of the room. The stage is fucking massively high. So when you're on stage and people are seated, you're literally looking down at them. And that is the worst. It's got a high ceiling to it as well. Really high ceiling to the venue. So there's kind of no intimacy. That's the worst thing when you're on a high stage, high ceiling room, and you're dying on your fucking hole. You feel just so fucking exposed. Just so exposed by it. Because people are literally looking up at you in wonder, and not like awe or some sort of majesty. they're looking up at you as if to say, what the fuck are you talking about, my friend? I have no idea. You think this is appropriate in a community centre? So I was just like, so I got there and I was just like, oh, fucking hell. I hate these rooms. They're horrible. High stage. You know, miles above the audience. And to be fair, I was opening. So I was like, right, I'll bash out 20 minutes. If it goes badly, I'll do my time. Just bash it out. It's 20 minutes, Ben. That's it. 20 minutes out of your life. We can, you know, we can get through this. We've been this here before, baby. We've been here before. So I went on. The first couple of minutes were a little bit slow. Sarah Johnson was emceeing. She did a fucking really good job emceeing. And the first 2 minutes for me, 2-3 minutes, were like a bit too much of a jolt maybe for the audience, because it's straight in and on a bit of dark stuff just to sort of like test the water. And it was probably a bit too much for a parochial born audience. And then they finally started getting on board. Then they really got on board and it was lovely. But when you come off stage, you've still got that first 2-3 minutes in your head of like, oh shit, it didn't start great. It wasn't like straight from the off. Like Friday was just like straight from the off. They were lovely. Whereas Saturday was like 2-3 minutes. Although I did do quite a bit of room work. A little bit of taking a piss out of the magician beforehand. Just saying, I used to do magic as well. But then when I was a kid, but then I got friends. So so that kind of like established it. Whereas like Saturday was kind of like straight in and with the material. So that may have had something to do with it as well. But like, you come off stage and that first 2-3 minutes are just like in your head. That's all you fucking remember. You don't really remember the bits that went really, really well. You just remember the bits where it was kind of like slightly awkward. That's probably it. I've turned into a fucking psychopath. And the only feeling I don't feel happiness when things go right. I just feel the pain of when things go wrong. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's me more than the fucking audience. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it went really well. It went well after that. Let's not be full of hyperbole, shall we? It went well after that. But you still come off stage and I was like, I don't know, man, it just felt like it was a little bit clunky. It felt like you were working at every, you know, coming to the end of a bit, and like it just felt like it could have gone at any time. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it was nice. It was nice in the end. And then I walked out of the gig. And then I, driving out, I get out of the car park, and there's, just get outside the car park, and I'm like, that looks like that's money on the floor. And there was a fucking tenner. Oh, Benny. Here we go. And then I thought, well, it's in the middle of the street. It's not like anywhere near the venue. You know, what do you do? Knock on the first available door? And go, oh, have you lost a tenner? Well, yeah, they're going to say yes, aren't they? Me, like a fucking naive guy, just gone to the city, some sort of naive Dick Whittington, just hands it over. So I thought, fuck that, I'm having it. I earned that tenner tonight. I'm having more. I'm having that. So I had the tenner, and then I got a little bonus for the gig as well, which was lovely. Hats Comedy, Ian Hayes, thank you very much for that. And, yeah, we got paid and got a little bonus as well. Fucking hell, that has never happened to me before, I don't think. I think that is the first time that that has ever happened where somebody has agreed a fee, they pay you the fee, and then they give you a little bonus as well. So, you know, you live and learn. Anyway, let's get on with this shit that we're going to talk about. I saw in the news this week, did you, Ben? Did you really see in the news? Have you been watching the news? Have you, Ben? Well, no, I haven't. I've been, I do what everybody does these days. I do what every fucker does these days, and I read the headlines, and then I kind of try to work out the story from that, shape it to the narrative that I've made in my own mind, and then I repeat that afterwards. Although I heard this on the radio, that a woman, yeah, one of those, a woman, only a woman would do this, a woman wheeled a dead man into a bank and tried to get a £2,000 loan for him. This is fucking amazing. It's an amazing, this is, I think she must be going for like gold digger of the year or something. If you're trying to resurrect somebody to get a £2,000 loan, I mean, I imagine the loan was for her that she was trying to get, you know, she's not trying to thinking, oh, well, he's going to need a new suit, new shoes and a new shirt. I might as well get him a loan. But she was caught, apparently, because, I mean, this is a fantastic story. I don't know how she thought she would get away with it. Firstly, surely, you know, somebody would realise that he's not breathing and not awake and his eyes were closed. I imagine his eyes were closed, were they? But they didn't realise this until his head started. It's fucking amazing, really. His head started going back, bobbing backwards, and she was holding his head up. You know, surely you have to sign for a loan. Do you still have to do that? Although saying that, I had a loan a couple of years ago, and you just do it over the fucking internet. It's great. Why didn't she do that? What a fucking idiot. Why go into a bank at all? Is she not aware of the internet? I don't know, man. But that is a hell of a story that somebody would do that. It's like Weekend at Bernie's, the financial episode. Isn't it? You don't see that. I imagine the bank guy, the guy in the bank has never encountered that situation. And what are you meant to say? No, he can't. Oh, he's been declined. Oh, why is that? Is it credit score? No, because he's fucking dead. And you are about to be arrested for wheeling a dead man into a bank to try and get a loan for him. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe she believed in the afterlife and thought, well, it might need £2,000. You know, who knows? You know, when you go to a new place, you never know what the weather's going to be like. You might need a raincoat up there. You know, it's in the clouds. It's bound to be chilly. An extra sweater. Just give him a £2,000 float. I don't know, man. These are a bit sort of like these. It's a bit of female head heavy going mental on these issues. And then I read a story about a woman who had a finger bitten off by another angry woman because she was angry that she was on the fucking gym machine. Now I have recently started going to the gym. The swimming's over, people. Well, not over, but I'm more going to the gym than swimming now. And I have joined one of those 24-hour gyms so I can go, which is the worst thing, a 24-hour gym, because you have no excuse not to go. You've literally got all day that you can go to the gym. So you have no reason to procrastinate. You know, you can, with a regular gym that closes at like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, something like that, you can say, oh my God, I was sitting down, I was getting all these jobs done, I've been dusting my skirting boards, they really needed doing. I've been, you know, cleaning my light bulbs just to get that extra little bit of shine out of them. You know, you can think of all the procrastination in the world that you want to think about. But when you've got a 24-hour gym and you don't go, you just have to admit to yourself that you are just a bit of a piece of shit. You are a little bit of a dreamer. You're not, you don't really want to better yourself. You don't really want to get fit. You just want to have the gym membership and have that initial rush of thinking, I'm going to change my life, baby. And then you have to live with the guilt of not going, don't you? You have to live with that. Oh, I'm a piece of fucking shit. Every time you're sitting down in a chair, or every time you're watching something on Netflix, or every time, you know, like you're cleaning something that doesn't need cleaning, and you know in the back of your head you're doing that to try and not do something else. You just have to admit to yourself, oh, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a fucking worthless loser. Because I've got all day to go. I could go in the night. So I have gone early morning while nobody's about. That's what I've done. Because I don't like using the gym, like when loads of people are there. It's full of people on their fucking phones. That's all it is now, isn't it? Gyms now are like what internet cafes used to be. If you've never been to an internet cafe at all, like when they were quite prevalent a few years ago before anybody could, like, you know, get free fucking broadband and Wi-Fi and minutes and unlimited data. If you want to know what an internet cafe was like, just go to a fucking gym now, because that's, everybody's on their phone. Everybody's either taking photos of themselves. Everybody's their own paparazzi these days. Oh my God, caught myself going out of the gym. You set that up. I've just seen you. I've literally just seen you pose for 2 minutes taking multiple photos. Yeah, that's what it's like. So I go early when nobody else is about. That's what I do. I love that. Nobody in there. I have the gym to myself. It feels like I'm a more successful person than I am. It gives me the same feeling as swimming with old people gives me. Swimming with old people makes me feel like a fucking film star. I can see the degradation and the horrendous effects of the passage of time on other people's bodies, and mine at the moment is holding up okay. I mean, next to a 22-year-old, yeah, I'm going to look like a piece of shit. But next to a 70-year-old who's half bent over, who looks like a de-shelled turtle, I look like a fucking film star. Let's have some more tea. So I'm trying, you know, I'm trying, people. I'm trying to go to the gym, but it's, you know, I can't go when other people are there. Other people just annoy me, because as soon as you get on a machine, or they're just sitting on a machine on their fucking phone, you know, just like that. And you're like, are you going to go? Oh, no, I still got like two more reps to do. Well, fucking do them then, dickless. Do them and move on. Yeah. What is the fucking arrogance of people that they think they can fucking hold up the world just because, you know, they've been fucking born and got a gym membership. Do your shit and fuck off. There's people who spent hours in the gym. You know, I'm there 45 minutes tops. That's it. Bang it out. Do my arms, do my legs, do my chest, you know, lift some fucking weights. I'm not there to break any records. I'm 47 years old. You know what I mean? I'm not there to break any records. I'm there to just, you know, delay dying. That's all I'm doing now. Delay dying and probably pull some sort of muscle. That's what I'm there for. That's all I want out of it. And the only reason I want to pull some sort of muscle is to feel like I've actually done a decent workout and probably limp around, and people will say, oh, how'd you do that? I did that at the gym. Oh, do you go to the gym? You're fucking right I do, bitches. Anyway, people, we are back. This was We've done half an hour. We've banged it out. That's what I've been up to. Let's talk about more interesting things next time. That is this week's edition of the Ben Briggs podcast. I will be back on next Sunday, motherfuckers, next Sunday. I hope you have a lovely week, whatever you may be doing, and I shall speak to you then. Take care.